Welcome to the Joey and Amanda podcast. I'm Joey.
And I'm Amanda. Today's episode was so fun to record.
So fun. So special.
We just got off the phone with my parents and they told us the story of growing up in two completely different countries with completely different foods and music and just cultures. And then meeting in the United States.
Yeah, we took a we took like a little tour
down memory lane.
Yeah, and we talked about the day that they met, and then what happened after that. But I just wanted to say that I felt like I was there. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah,
but I felt like I was in the place
where they met.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way that my dad said it, there was like some type of like, I don't know how to explain it. It was like a magic. Yeah.
I felt that you felt it. It was really amazing. It was so fun that we got to do that. And
I'm so thankful we did that. It was so nice. My parents' love story is so special. Just everything that had to happen for them to meet.
Right.
And then knowing just that they are the one for each other so quickly. I mean, super quickly.
Yeah.
They only dated for 3 months. They've been married for 32 years.
Yeah.
So it's just a great love story.
And then on top of that, it's so inspirational, you know, the two of them coming to, you know, Florida and starting a new life there. And,
yeah, such a young age.
Yeah, it's just really inspiring and motivating to hear both of their stories. And this was really special. And to sit here and to listen to this with you and to hear about what they were like growing up and then to compare that with, like, traits.
Like my traits. It was like
There was just so many connections made, and even hearing about your parents' uncles and their grandparents and their parents, there's just so many things that make you who you are today.
Yeah.
It's really cool to hear all that.
I loved recording this.
That was
Joey and I were like holding hands the whole time. We're like, so much
love. I got very emotional during it too, you know, just hearing about how, you know, your dad felt about your mom.
Yeah, you can feel it. And it's just voice.
Yeah, and just their outlook on life. I feel like they were
holding
hands.
I wonder if they were holding hands too during it. I bet you they were.
Ask them. I'm excited to share this with all of you.
Yeah, I hope you guys love it too as much as we do.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy our fantastic conversation with Amanda's parents.
Mara and Ray.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, man.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, mom and dad.
Hey. Hey, Mandy. Hey, guys. Hey,
hi. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
This is so exciting.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Wow. What an honor.
Well, we were thinking it'd be really cool to hear a little bit about each of your growing up, each of your childhoods, and you know, growing up in other countries and eventually coming here and meeting each other.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. I mean,
let's do
okay.
It.
I can start.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So what was your hometown? Like what part of Venezuela did you grow up in?
I was born in Maracaibo.
Okay.
That was part of the state of Zulia, and I grew up there, and very different as far as the food between Ray, that he grew up in Chile, and the music too, you know,
even the weather.
I grew up and the weather. Very different, you know. Our weather in Maracaibo, it's like 40 degrees year long.
That's Celsius.
37 and 40.
So
maybe 100. Let's say 90.
90s and 100s.
Pretty hot. 100 or 80. All year long.
I was just telling him, I've never met anybody in my entire life that one parent is from Venezuela and one parent is from Chile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really rare mix for some reason. Probably not anymore because there are a lot of Venezuelans going to Chile. But back then, it was rare.
Yeah, back then.
So here's what I'm curious about. So I'll just say a quick story. So when Amanda and I were on our honeymoon, we were told about this shark tour that we could go on. And my first thought was, yeah, right. I'm not going on that. And I looked over at Amanda and immediately could tell, okay, we are doing that. And I think she gets that adventurous side from you. Is that, do you think that's right?
Yeah, I would say yes, because
definitely.
I was always the first on the group of friends when I was growing up, mm-hmm. kind of jumping on something or the leader or doing something different that anybody, you know, was
or swinging like from vines.
Yeah, I remember because the thing is, in Maracay it was very hot, mm-hmm. but we had a vacation home or a second home in the mountains, mm-hmm. in the Andes. Mm-hmm. So we used to go there, well, like every other weekend, and that's where we had all the adventures mm-hmm. of,
so
you
fun.
Know, of the mountain and going in vines and going on. You know, it was so fun growing up. I was like 12 years old, mm-hmm. around there, 12, 13.
You know, when something breaks over here, my instinct is to say, oh, well, this thing's done. I'll throw that in the garbage. But Amanda's like, whoa, 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 we can fix this. And she'll create and concoct some kind of invention fix.
Mom.
Yes, I always had that on, like... I don't know if you would say mechanical or
resourcefulness.
Yeah, resourceful.
Or resourceful, very handy.
Yeah.
So I always find, you know, a way to fix it. And that is a trait that came from my dad. My dad, he used to be like that.
Mm.
So that's probably why, you know, I'm like that.
So when did you leave Venezuela?
We left Venezuela when I was 16.
Okay, and you left with uh-huh, your mom?
With my mom and my dad. Yeah, everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I was, out of four kids, I was the only one that didn't like too much, you know, the language, mm-hmm. or have that affinity with the
American culture,
the USA, uh-huh, yeah, with the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Out of, you know, I used to listen to a lot of salsa and bachata, Latin, and Latin music, and it was a kind of a culture, you know, like shock when mm-hmm. we came. And even though that we came to South Florida, I didn't know the language
right
at all, and I didn't like it. I had to learn it, you know, by just because I didn't know.
Right.
But after after we moved, I started learning it and having friends, you know, and it was a big, you know, transition for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the age that I when I had my transition doesn't even compare to the transition from a different country with a different language. Yeah. But like, it's a hard age. 16 is a really hard age to change from, like, you know, it's
So you're in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. What other things about the transition about, well, we came to South Florida, to Fort Lauderdale.
Uh-huh.
And I used to, when I was 16, 17, didn't go out much, mm-hmm. or anything. And then, because I wanted to tell you the story how we met, you know.
Yeah.
But that was after I graduated and all that. I study computer uh-huh. programming. So that's the other thing that is, I don't know about my background of liking stuff, but I like fixing computer and then programming computer back uh-huh. then when I was young.
Uh-huh. Well, that's going to come into handy for us because we're having a little bit of a printer problem over here today.
Yeah.
That's why she got so passionate about it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right when we get off of here, we'll jump back into printer land.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll pause we'll pause there for a second. We'll hop over to Chile for a little bit. Does that sound good?
And then we'll hear.
And then we'll combine them.
Yeah,
this is so fun.
We're gonna build it. We're gonna build the drama here.
You
asked the question, George. So I want to hear about your hometown in Chile.
Oh, Joey, it's a beautiful town. You know, it's Viña del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the in the coast of Chile, mm-hmm. Pacific Ocean, and it's hour 50 minutes from the capital, Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a super nice weather, not really hot. Mm-hmm. You know, as Mara mentioned, and you know, Maracaibo. Mm-hmm. This is more, more 80s, right? At that time, now yeah. Everything, you know, with the climate, it's been changing. Everything has been changing, you know, in the world. But in my time, you know, four seasons too. And in my time, you know, in the 70s, you know, 73, I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have super weather. I mean, everything was normal weather, no craziness. So we enjoy, you know, so much, you know, summertime. We go, you know, to the rivers, to the beaches, and to south of Chile. It's super nice too. So you do a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. and things like that.
I'm assuming that when you were, you know, just as soon as you could walk, you were playing soccer. Is that?
Yeah, you're right. It's a country, you know, who you know, we play soccer. You know, I used to play three times a day. I used to play in the morning with my friends, summertime, afternoon, after you know, we have a light lunch,
mm-hmm.
and then in the evening we used to go, you know, to our you know, we have it's our street between the houses. We have a long street.
Yeah.
So we used to play at night, you know, also.
So it wasn't it wasn't even just a hobby. It was like a way of life.
Oh my God. Yeah. I always remember, you know, my mom get upset because my brand new pair of shoes, mm-hmm. tennis shoes, last, you know, a month. My mom was so, you know, desperate, you know, oh my God, you know what I'm gonna do with you, you know, this is so, you know, so expensive. And you know, we have we were four siblings, you know, in the house. So
mm-hmm.
and so I always remember my mom, you know, getting upset because, you know, and then, you know, you need to spend more money, you know, mm-hmm. on me, because, you know, my addiction, you know, to soccer. So I always remember that. So it was a very happy, you know, childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very, very, and then we all participate, you know, as a Boy Scout team.
Mm.
So we used to go to camping, you know, and learning about, you know, outdoors. So a lot of activities. So my childhood, it was super, super special, you know, and with my friends, you know, growing up together, going to the school together, mm-hmm. and
so you listen to different music.
He didn't ask me. You know, I'm you, yeah. I'm just answering. You know, you know.
He likes to be guided by you.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say next. So Amanda has an incredible, and I mean incredible, business mind. And for somebody who never studied business, really, you know, in school, yeah. It's kind of baffling. And so you obviously taught her well in that respect. Were you always business oriented or business savvy?
Yeah, good question, Joy. Very, very good question. That's something, you know, you born, you know, with some abilities, you know, and you notice when you're very young,
right?
Because the way you talk, the way you express things, and you see the attention of the people, in this case, you know, your friends,
mm-hmm.
And then if you say something, you see three or four guys that say yes. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you know, you come up with an idea to, mm-hmm. Mom, why you don't make, you know, this cube ice cream? I can sell it, for example. And then, you know, summertime. So very cheap, you know, you get, you know, those old trays, you know, where uh-huh. you used to put, you know,
the ice water cubes.
And, uh-huh. the ice cube. So we used to put, you know, Coca-Cola or orange or, you know, strawberry and fill it up super cheap and put, you know, the sticks, right? And then I used to sell it for nothing, but I used to sell it and everybody, oh, yeah, I want this, I want that, oh, this is fabulous. So, you know, it came, you know, with me. I always, it was easy. Uh-huh. It was for me easy, you know. Uh-huh. Sale, it was one of the easiest things to do.
And then
with Amanda,
yeah.
I knew her personality, you know, to do things so creative. I didn't have, of course, the creativity, you know, Amanda. Amanda's creativity, different, right? She was more with art and all that. But seeing her, you know, the way she direct herself, mm-hmm. I knew right away, you know, I say, wow, she's going to be a sales, you know, person. She's going to be more in business. I always knew that. I knew she was is the type of person who's going to see what's suit good for her, mm-hmm. and she's gonna pursue. So
I remember, actually, I used to sell things even younger, maybe around like 11, 12, when I started making bracelets from yarn or like string, and then I would go around the block door to door, they ask, was it a charity? No, I'm just selling bracelets. It took me a long time. Like, I think they're pretty. So, you know, people would buy out stuff for like a dollar or so. But what I do remember a lot what's very vivid in my mind was, business is always, you're really trying to help people.
Right.
And you're trying to figure out, okay, how can I make their life easier to get what they need?
Right.
So in school, I remember the vending machine didn't always have the best options of like candy that I wish that was there.
Right.
So when my mom would go to Costco or Sam's Club, I would look at the price and I would say, okay, well, this is so much cheaper than the vending machine. So I would ask my mom, hey, can you get me some of this gum and this gum and this gum so I can sell it?
You did this as a kid?
Yeah, I did this in seventh grade.
Oh,
yeah.
That is...
So my mom would get it for me and I started selling like the good candy that people wanted that the vending machine didn't have.
Skittles.
Yeah, like, you know, all that good stuff. So then when my dad figured out how much I was selling and all of that, he came home with the biggest backpack. Like, I was, you know, I'm supposed to be going to school to learn, and I'm selling on the side, but I'm getting great grades. I'm like getting straight A's. But my dad wanted to change my cool JanSport backpack. Uh-huh. Back then, JanSport was really cool in our school, to this nerdy, huge backpack that came with a cooler on the bottom. It was like a camping backpack. And he was
so
like,
funny.
You should start selling drinks. He was like, you can put the drinks at the bottom. And it was so funny. I never ended up like using that backpack, but I always remember that because I thought it was awesome that he encouraged me and was like, this is great. But I also think I got my artistic side from my mom because she's creative, like the creativity, and then from my dad's side because my grandfather, my dad's dad, was very creative and handy too.
Did he do the impressions or voices?
He did the Donald Duck impression, remember? Good.
And the voices, remember the voice?
Yeah,
also?
He was so good at doing the Donald Duck voice. I wish you would have heard it. It's so good.
It's so cool for me to hear all of it and then just see you. Now it's just such a blend of all. You really just got this perfect blend of all of these traits. I mean, it's really amazing.
I'm so thankful. And he was artistic too, my grandfather. He would illustrate cartoons, which is cool. And then my aunt from my mom's side was a great painter as a child. She was like a child prodigy painter. Unfortunately, her father didn't see how you can make money off of art, so she ended up not pursuing it. He didn't support it, which a lot of people back then didn't. But yeah, it came from both sides, the creativity, artistic side too. But yeah, dad with a business always.
Outstanding. And I love that you would do that in your neighborhood too, as a kid, the same way you were doing it.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
My grandma always jokes around about my dad. She says he can sell ice to a penguin.
That is a high, it's high praise right there. So at what point do you say to yourself, all right, I've got to go?
Oh, in Chile, it was, we have at that time, we have a dictator, right? So the country was a little bit, it was a little bit tight in so many aspects. And I remember I started a business, partnership, you know, 50% with another person. But I worked extremely, extremely hard, long hours. I started at 5 o'clock in the morning. Going to, you know, to purchase all the products and then come back, open at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock to customers, and then close winter time, 9 o'clock, and summertime, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, 7 days a week.
Wow.
So that,
and how old were you? So,
22. Yeah. And that, you know, it was a little bit hard. And then I realized, no, I don't think, you know, I want this life for me. It is good and everything, money-wise. But, it's too much. I mean, it is too much. I was young and everything. But, you know, I found, you know, it was too many hours. And then I decided, you know, to came, you know, I fixed my visa, you know, as a student, and I came, you know, to United States, and basically that's what I, you know, I decide, look, and then I found, you know, the love of my life, and
we're not there yet. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So you were how old when you came?
23.
And did you have the same kind of culture shock that Mara did when she got to South Florida?
It didn't bother me like Mara, for example, because we don't have the same Latin culture, you know, in Chile.
Back then,
you know, we grew up listening more, you know, British band, American band, you know, more English than you know, Latin music down there.
That's why he loves all Billy Joel, the classics, we have rock. Yeah. My dad grew up listening to all of that.
I see.
I grew up with Led Zeppelin, you know, and all those Peter Frampton, you know, at that time it was Police. And Queen and all those, you know, amazing bands and singers. So for me, it didn't bother me at all. The only thing, you know, of course, you need to go to the school. You need to go to the school for the, you know, to learn, you know, the language. But I know it wasn't, you know, for me, it didn't bother me at all. I mean, I know, you know, America, you need to learn, you know, English and that's a basic thing to do when you move, you know, from your country to another country.
So you came, but Ray, you came by yourself or you came with a friend?
No, by myself.
You came by yourself?
No, by myself.
Okay.
By myself. Yeah.
Wow. Is that amazing?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And did you know destiny, anybody here?
You know, I believe in destiny. I remember I used to help a person, you know, when I used to have the business, you know, in Chile.
Yeah.
I remember this person was in Chile because at that time you used to go and get your permanent resident card that send you back to your country to pick that document. Mm-hmm. At that time, not anymore. But he was there from here. So I gave him, you know, he asked for a job, and I have the opportunity to, I need a driver to drive, you know, the pickup, you know, to do purchasing.
Was it the red pickup, Toyota pickup?
No.
Oh, that was later.
Chile. That was in Chile.
Oh, in Chile.
He was the connection, the guy.
Yeah, because he's asking me, you know.
Oh, okay.
State.
And it's because, you know, I'm answering that, you know, the question. It's because, you know, one person, I give the hand for 3 months, you know, in Chile. I give the opportunity to work for 3 months. In the meantime, he was waiting for the resident card, the alien card. And so he was so grateful. And he said, you know what? I remember it always. He said, you know what? A person like you in the United States, you make it so, you will make it up. Because, you know, the business, you're a hard worker, you know, you're young. And he said, if you ever think to go there, call me. This is my number.
That's awesome.
And then the time came, and he said, listen, you know what? I'm going to the embassy. I'm going to pick up my resident card, and I'm leaving. And he gave me the address and everything. And if you change your mind, I'm going to be there, you know. But I know you can do good, you know, there. Because the way you work and, you know, the discipline you have and all that. So, you know, it was nice work and everything. And suddenly, I remember I was passing winter and it was so hard. Mm-hmm. I remember it was extremely hard. And that pushed me a little bit to those, comments, those words this guy told me. And then I had that feeling and say, listen, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna sell, you know, my 50 here to my partner, and I'm gonna do something different. I have to do something different. It's an opportunity. I was living by myself, so you know that you know give me that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was.
So you end up in Florida.
Yeah. With him. With the guy.
Were you in Boca?
In Boca. Yeah. He used to live there in Boca. And, you know, I called him. I said, listen, this is the decision I'm taking. And he said, hey, welcome. Tell me when I will go and pick you up, you know, at the airport. And you can stay, you know, with me. And then you figure it out.
Oh, my God. That guy's an angel. Yep. Imagine so many things that change because of that one person.
Right. Yeah. Well, you say you know, you believe in destiny. Like, those are the things. Like, those
people.
You
have to go with your gut. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I get it from my dad, too.
If you see you learn something from, you know, how's life, you give a hand and also you receive a hand. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah.
Because that was the case. I remember when he said, you know, listen, I'm looking for a job and I don't find a job just because I'm going to be here for maybe 2-3 months.
Oh, I get it. So you gave him a job.
Yeah.
Okay. So
try the pickup.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So hold on. Yeah. Let me read, because I just got this just for the listeners.
Yeah.
So this guy that lives in Boca came for 3 months, and it's hard to get a job for only 3 months in Chile.
Right.
My dad had a business. So my dad gave this guy a job for 3 months to drive this car.
Right.
So, and he was so thankful for it. Mm-hmm. So then he paid back kind of the favor and helped you out in Florida.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was so grateful. So he said to me, you know, if you ever want to go there, which I think you will do good there, just, this is my number, just call me. And that what happened. Ended it, you know, what happened there.
Got it.
That is so inspiring. that is amazing. So, all right. So you're in Boca.
And mom, you're in Fort Lauderdale. Sunrise.
Yeah.
Okay. So should we get to the, when you first meet each other, how many years later?
It's very soon.
It was
after,
right away.
I think.
Yeah. For me. Yeah. Because it was, I remember I came on February, right? 87. Yeah. So the first time I saw you, it was like November, maybe, of 87. I used to work with her cousin, but he never mentioned, hey, I got, you know, my cousins, things like that. Never.
Hold on. Let me explain this. this cousin of mine, he was living with us because after like 3 or 4 years that we were in the United States, he came, he had an opportunity, and my dad and my mom said, okay, if you want to come to the States, and we're going to help you. Mm-hmm. So he came to, he used to live with us.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then one night, since I wasn't allowed to go out or dance or anything, when he came, he said, okay, let's go to a dance club. And I went with him.
That's the only way you were going to be allowed to go.
It's because he was going. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we got to the dance club, Ray was already there.
Nope. No, it wasn't like that. Because I walked in. When I walked in, I saw you standing. And listen, you going to tell me? When I walked in, we paid. We had the ticket. When I walked, I make a left. And I saw you in the middle of Ray. There. And Juan Carlos.
Okay.
And then I say, hi.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, my God, Juan Carlos. Hey, what are you doing here? You know, the cousin. I went to the club with my friend. He said, Ray, you know, let's go. Let's go out. I said, nah, listen, you know what? I don't like disco, you know.
Salsa, because that was
listen, I didn't have no idea about salsa, merengue, no idea about that. Maybe a little bit of Colombian, you know, music more than, you know, Caribbean music. So when I walk to the club, you know, I give my ticket, and you have the bar in front of you, and then you make a left to see more tables. And it was a real nice place, though. It looks like real nice.
And the
place.
Dance floor.
Oh, yeah, the dance floor, super nice, you know. You know, super nice. Not much I can
say. So you saw me with my cousin.
And then I saw Mara, you know. She was in the middle of Juan Carlos, your cousin, and it was Ray, you know, next to you, which, like, a cousin, too, you know.
So she was in between two cousins.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So when I walked and looked, I saw Mara, so beautiful, standing there. Super nice, you know, and oh my God, and I like it a lot. And I
very conservative, you know, very conservatively dressed.
Yeah, very conservative, but beautiful. Yeah, because all you know, super nice. and then I saw Juan Carlos, and I said, oh my God, Juan Carlos, what are you doing here? No, what are you doing here? No, you know, I came with this friend. Why you don't tell me you come to the club? So I shouldn't, you know, communicate. I said, no. So that was, you know, hard out.
So did you guys dance all night? Like,
No. We talked more because I wasn't a dancer, you know, with that type of music, you know, like merengue, salsa, all that.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to dance.
Yeah, I didn't know how to, you know, dance, salsa, things like that. So we talked more. And that's it, basically, you know.
Did you exchange phone numbers?
No. We didn't, but she invited me to end of the year, you know, they have a party, something at the end of the year, tell Juan Carlos you can come and blah, and all that. But I didn't have car at that time yet,
or
I
was
getting a car, and it didn't happen. I didn't go, you know, to the end of the year party.
And then I never heard from him because.
And I always ask, you know, to the cafe, you know, hey, how's Mara? Oh, she's fine. Oh, tell him, you know, I say, you know, hi. And, okay. And he never say anything.
He never told her.
No, is that horrible?
Never. Yeah.
And we used to, you know, be in the same house. He never mentioned.
Yeah.
That Ray.
Mom, did you ever tell him like, oh, how's Ray doing?
You don't remember?
No,
you don't. Yeah.
So, yeah, because it was, we only met one time. That, yeah, you know, right. That's it.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. But it was, you know, nice. And I think nice. I asked him, but he didn't, I asked him, but he said, oh, no. Like, because no, he didn't want me to know or Ray to know that he lied about, like, living in the living with us. He said that he lived in a beach condo and that he was gonna buy a big a new car.
Yeah,
and he was he tells
a lot of stories.
That's funny. Yeah. That's so funny.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and that's why we didn't have. I asked for him, and he said no. And then Ray asked for me, and he said no.
Mara, she was in my year. The sweetest person, I met, and super nice and amazing.
What was the next time you saw each other?
Look at this. Look how slight. He was involved in a car accident.
In May of the next year. In May of 88.
88. Huh? Juan Carlos was involved in a car accident.
5 months after.
Wow. Oh, okay.
So in my day off, I remember I bought some chocolate. And I went to see him to the hospital. So I went, and he was surprised. You know, oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Ray. Oh, Juan Carlos, it is some chocolate for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk and blah, blah. Okay. Bye-bye. And I left. And I left. One day I was working, and I received a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was Juan Carlos. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ray. Oh, Juan Carlos. Hi. How are you, Ray? How you doing? Fine, good. You know who's here? No. My cousin. Who, Mara? Yeah. And they're going to dance tonight to the same place. So I said, let me talk to her.
Yeah. While I was visiting Juan Carlos in the hospital.
Yeah.
He said, oh, you know who came to visit me? Ray. Mm-hmm. And then I say, oh, really? We're planning to go to the Studio 51, to the, you know, the dance club again. So he said, okay, let me call him. And then Juan Carlos called him, and then he passed the phone to me. And then that's when I kind of, you know, told him, oh, we're going tonight. And with my other cousin, which is Ricardo.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that the night that the rest was history, or not yet?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's the night. You know, I always joke. You know, with this joy, I always say, you know, I brought my Doberman with me. So I lose my dumb muscle hair that night.
First of all, this sounds sexual, but it wasn't. Just because I know they waited until marriage, but saying.
No. In a way, you know,
I'm
just
saying.
I need to put all the meat on the grill. Okay, this is my opportunity. That's what I had in my mind.
Right.
Because at that time, you need to figure this, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it wasn't a failure fund. You know, I knew that's my opportunity. Mm-hmm. I knew that was my opportunity. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, I need to secure, you know, I'm going to have the contact, and
me back home, because I went with my sisters, Mimi, and my cousin, the other cousin, Ricardo, and everything. And we were so, you know, like,
having fun.
Love at first sight. I mean, we knew from December, but then we stayed there. We knew less, and Ricardo and say, Mara, we have to go. And I said, no, we're still, you know, having fun and whatever. Yeah. And then your dad
offered to you.
Oh, I can take you.
Drop you home. Want me to? And it was so nice when I walked into the studio. Right, the disco,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I went straight, you know, I looked, I didn't see her, you know, standing, and I went to the place, you know, where everybody danced, because it's a little bit lower, you know, so so you wear a little bit higher to the dancers, mm-hmm. so you have a good vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was so excited, when I looked, she was, you know, like very close down, dancing, you know, with Ricardo at that time, and she was gorgeous. Oh, my God. The hair, you know, the way she was dressed and so pretty. And I waved her, you know, like, hi, Mara, I'm here.
Oh.
And she looked at me, would give me a beautiful smile, and I say, okay. And then she came, and it was, you know, since that day, you know, we never, you know.
Been apart.
So it was real, real nice. And we, you know, we're starting to know each other, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the main
so
the main
emotional.
Thing.
It's so amazing. Yeah. You guys came from these different countries. And different ways you wound up at that place. It's just, it's I mean.
So special.
It really is. And here we are today. And
it's
and
been
now,
over 30 years.
Yeah.
Thanks for making me, Mom and Dad.
Yeah,
thanks for making her.
Yeah. I know this joy. But it's something deep inside, you know, when you find the person, you know, it's something completely, it's something, it's telling you, you know, it's, you know, she's
that's the one.
That's mm-hmm. the one, yeah.
Yeah, people ask us, people say all the time to us, you know, how did you know? And it's just, you just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no other way to explain it.
If you're wondering, then it's a no.
Right.
That's what I say. Uh-huh. I tell people.
Right.
If you're not sure, that's a no.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I told my mom and about Joey. She's like.
Exactly. I mean, almost the same story. I mean, yeah. I mean, when we heard Amanda, you know, it was, you know, we knew right away, you know. I say, oh.
That's the one.
Yeah. 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 Because it's when you put all together, you know, your thoughts, your. The way you want to live your life, the way you see life, the respect, you know, which is number one thing, you know, you need to have, you know.
Our morals.
Morals and all that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to feed, you know, you need to feed your lover every single day, you know. It's not something you're going to be happy, you know, the first five years, and then you're going to, think you know it's going to be always the same. No, I mean, it's every single day of your life.
Yeah, it's every day. It's the simplest things I tell Joey all the time. It's just at the end of the day, I'll just think like how you feed love is also just by like every caress, like him putting the dishes away or like every hug mm-hmm. and random kiss and like, oh no, let me do this. And just every time you it's just a yin yang. Like, just there has to be that balance of like, oh, I love the analogy that Bita, which is my mom's mother, my grandmother told me, which is like a good relationship. It's kind of like a tug of war. When one person's pulling, the other person lets go a little bit and vice versa. It's like you're always helping one another mm-hmm. constantly.
Yeah.
And through the years, you know, you need to know much better than, and it's easier, really, really it's easier because, you know, it's the connection, it's deeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
oh my gosh.
And it's so nice. I mean, nice to have the opportunity to know what is love through the years. Mm-hmm. So that's a bless. Mm-hmm. Really, really, you know, here we're talking about something, a blessing, because some people, you know, listen, one of the person died. And it's going to need to have the opportunity to have the experience, you know, through the years to have that blessing. And it's really, really, you know, a blessing to have, you know, love with, a, you know, with your couple, you know, for so many years.
Yeah.
So it is something, you know, really, 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 you know, you need to live through, you know, with a person and someday, you know, you guys will, you know,
experience,
you know, this, you know, and you want to remember this, maybe, you know, what I'm saying, because really, really it is amazing, you know, what love is, is, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so nice because it gives you, you know, the energy to keep doing the things, you know, you like, you know, with your couple, you know, and
yeah, with your partner, and the best that you can. And I mean, we haven't even had children yet, and I already am thinking I'm gonna explode of love. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm sure you guys are too. I mean, to think all your journey, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, I feel like we might need to do a part two at some point, because, you know, there's so many different chapters of your lives and there's so much more to talk about. And then to talk about raising four kids and Amanda and supporting her through, you know, all the things that she's wanted to do.
I think we need to do an episode, which would be very important, about that, because a lot of people reach out, and it'd be good for parents that all of a sudden they have an artist that's a child and they don't know what to do because they're not an artist themselves.
Right.
So I think it'd be a good episode to talk about that, to help other parents, you know, that have children. They're like, what?
That's a great idea.
I'm a mathematician. What do I do with this?
Right.
Yeah.
But, oh, I love you guys so much.
This was so special. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing everything and for trusting us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys. To reaffirm, you know, with your love, you know, I think, you know, you guys say, yes, love is real. And what we're, you know, what we're being doing through this so many years.
Mm-hmm. This journey.
This journey, you know, it's real, and I'm glad, you know, Amanda can say, you know, listen, I lived through the example of my mom and my dad, and I know she's a very happy person and a happy woman with you, Joy. Mm-hmm. And I know she's gonna be your greatest, you know, fan, friend. You know, why
partner,
you know, it's so nice. I mean, it's
there go, is.
You know, go up hills, you know, and go down and ups, because that's life. I always say, you know, sometimes, you know, the heart rhythm show you, you know, how it's life. Sometimes everything goes well. Sometimes everything go down and then up again and down, you know, and leave that emotions, you know, through the years, you know, when you're, with your partner, you know, it's amazing, because so many, you build so many memories through the years, you know. Yeah, it's real. I mean, really, really, it's real. So that's what I need to add.
Okay.
Well, I'll say one more thing is, you know, I just wanted to add that I feel so grateful and lucky to have both of you as my mother and father-in-law. It's like I got so lucky that you two are so supportive, and it's just amazing.
So special. Yeah. And I know I'm so lucky you guys are my parents, and I feel the same way with your parents. They're so great. We got really lucky.
We're really happy with you guys and your parents. The sweetest.
So much love.
You know, and the love family too. I mean, what a coincidence! You know, four kids.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Us, uh-huh. You know, what a coincidence.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities in like our family and Joey's family, even though they're from different places. There's so many similarities and the way that we see the world is so similar to my parents. Our children are going to be so lucky with their grandparents.
I know.
Yeah, a solid four.
Yeah, like, I know.
My mom and dad and your mom and dad.
Melting pot.
Yeah.
We're all like, I'm just so thankful.
You're right about that, because really, really, you know, I didn't meet my grandpa a couple of times, maybe, in my memory.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't have more memories, you know, about him. And the other one died when I was like 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, and my grandma, I didn't meet my grandma, you know, from my dad's side. Mm-hmm. And from my mom's side, she passed away when I was like, I was here in the States when she passed away. But that's it. So you're right about that. I mean,
yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
Oh, I miss you guys. I can't wait for this corona to be over.
Yeah. Little by little.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. Soon.
Yeah.
We need to stay home.
That's why we're really trying to, you know, stay healthy and all that, because we want to, you know, be here for the grandkids.
Yes.
We have a lot of memories to make.
A lot of memories together.
Yes. I'm so glad you're being so healthy and conscious.
Yep.
All right. Well,
okay, guys.
Love you guys so much.
Love you too, Amanda.
We love you.
Have a good night. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast. I hope you had so much fun, and I can't wait to have you guys back on.
We have to do a part two
in the future.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good.
I love you. Okay. Bye, mommy. Bye,
love
dad.
You.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Joy.
That was so great.
Great.
I love them so much.
I feel like there are so many more things for them to share and to inspire people on, you know, in terms of raising you and supporting
supporting if you have a young artist or if you're an artist and you want to share this podcast with your parents so they can have an idea. But let us know what you would like to hear from my parents, because I'm sure everybody has different types of questions or a different part of their journey that maybe you guys want to hear. So we're open to that. Just DM us in the Joey and Amanda Podcast Instagram. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all of the support. Thank you for the love. We appreciate you guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to my family.
And I will be back on Friday for a little Joey's Brain.
I'm so excited to hear this new story Joey has been writing up. I have no idea what it is. I just see him smiling and typing really fast. So I can't wait to hear what it's about.
All right. You want to have some dinner?
Yes, please.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for everything. We love you with all of our hearts. And
love you. Big hug. Bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.